Welcome to Bevington Banter, the show where we can sound like we're arguing even when we all agree. I'm Cassidy, and together with my brother Cade and dad Randy, each week we discuss a selection of news stories, topics surrounding the culture, and matters of freedom and faith. Thanks for listening. Follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Share it, and if you like what you hear, rate it 5 stars on Apple and Spotify. I know to listeners, it's still coming out on the same day, but we're not recording when we originally play, and I can tell people my saga from yesterday. When we were supposed to record yesterday, and I was in the kitchen. Oh, by the way, Cade's sick, so you're not going to hear him on this episode. But I was in the kitchen walking, and I stepped, and it felt weird. And I looked down, and there was water on the corner of one of the between some of the boards in the kitchen flooring. I thought, where did that come from? And I stepped again and noticed it was coming up from between the boards.
Right,
so
and you put
obviously
pressure down
that was bad.
On it, it came up.
Yeah, so the pad was soaked. So we shut the water off, tried to figure out, dishwasher, kitchen, whatever. It was under the sink, and there was pooled water. And we had just been in there, because I ran the dishwasher the day before, and there was no water in there. So this happened really fast. Anyway, we get a call, I'm finding plumbers, Cole's trying to clean it up. And we're waiting on a plumber, get all the water soaked up, and a bowl under there, because it started kind of leaking again. And all of a sudden, I see out the corner of my eye something fly into the window, and we just hear this huge crash in the window. I was like, what was that? So I went over to the window. It goes into the backyard, and I saw a hawk backing away to the edge of the concrete pad, and then he ended up just flying off. And I thought, did a hawk just fly into our window? And there was a feather and a big smear on the window. And later, because then the plumber came right after that, and first, I looked at Cole, and we're like, this is what is happening today. And we started not today, Satan. Cole's rebuking. And I was like, am I about to have a baby? Because that's how this day is going. And so, later, we tell the plumber about it when he gets there, because it was crazy. And he goes over to the window. He's like, you can see, where its beak, its head. And they looked outside, and there was a dead pigeon. So it was chasing a pigeon, and the pigeon in the window. And what was weird is the hawk left the pigeon there.
Yeah.
So Cole had to pick up the dead bird later, but
so
anyway,
you don't
got
think
the
hawk
fixed.
Actually hit the window? You just think it was just
no,
the pigeon?
No, I think just the pigeon hit the window.
Because I was wondering. I wondered.
Unless he was holding it.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing
he was
chasing it.
Well, I wondered, though, if it didn't take it, because if it hit the window, it was kind of loopy.
Dazed?
Yeah.
That's true. They could have both maybe hit together if they were close enough.
Well, let me ask you, did the hawk, when you looked out and you saw it, did it have stars circling around its head?
Like a cartoon?
Yeah.
I didn't quite catch that. So anyway,
oh,
then we had someone else come and assess the water damage. So now we have our flooring's all buckled. And
so it was underneath the sink though?
Yeah. And that cabinet is super saggy and done for it needs a new cabinet. So yeah.
Yeah, well,
good
I thought...
When you guys come, we might have no kitchen flooring.
Well, when Mom explained it, I thought it was something, a pipe under the floor.
Oh, yeah,
she described
I know,
it.
Which it was to happen. It runs, so the house runs slightly that direction, so all the water went one,
yeah,
went off, yeah. So it's a flooring in one area, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's no... Twice I've come home and found water leaks. Once... It was contained because the way our unfinished basement is built with the water, well tank. So it was nothing to the house. It stayed right in that room and just ran out the exterior door underneath it. The other time, though, it was a water heater down where the furnace is. And I noticed that all of a sudden the carpet in that corner over by the bookcase and all that was sopping wet. So here's the trick. When we put a new water heater in there, because it had sprung a leak, mm-hmm. They put it in a pan.
Oh, yeah.
So it contains water and then ran a line over into the well, over into the sump pump.
Oh.
So if it did let go, it just would run to the sump and be pumped
out.
Yeah. So.
Well, there was a bucket under the garbage disposal, but it was too big. It didn't go under the hole. Mm. It was too tall. So if that could have been, a couple inches backward, it would have caught the water, which is kind of frustrating, but... It is what it is. This is the joys of being a homeowner.
Yep.
Pros and cons, right?
Well, Mom wants you to go into labor. She wants your water to break on the podcast. She thinks that would be.
I know. She thinks it'd be funny. I was at the gym earlier, and a lady asked how far along I was. I said 39, and she goes, "Oh!" And she was waiting for me to have the baby in the gym. I think.
Was she a midwife?
No. She said I was motivation to everyone there, though. Because I'm still there. And I'm not doing that much, but I'm there. So.
Yeah.
Anyway. It worked out because I wasn't in the mood to talk about all the problems of the world yesterday anyway. But then when you have like a, you know, normal life problem, I guess it recenters you already.
Life goes on.
Yep.
No matter what. So, I don't know. The big news of the week, it seems like, is what? Mitch McConnell, Lakin Riley.
What's like the big one? I don't know. Well, because one of the podcasts I listen to is Megyn Kelly, she is like really on this Fannie Willis, Nathan Wade situation. Fonny.
Those people need to go to prison.
That's true. So that one I hear about a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one that's probably, I don't know, people might know about it because they follow what's going on with Trump, but if not, it's more of a kind of a local Georgia, Atlanta story, because that's where she's the DA.
It also just tells you something about corruption, though, even though, it's Atlanta, Georgia, but...
Yeah, we kind of talked about this. I heard somebody refer to, maybe this is where we go. I heard somebody refer to Governor Kemp stepping in, having to do something at some point if the judge doesn't do something. Because, you know, well, he's a conservative. It's like, no, Kemp is not a conservative. He might have an R by his name. You can't label Republicans conservatives. In fact, I actually started a new course on the Hillsdale last night.
Oh, yeah.
And it deals with how we became this, we transitioned from this constitutional and understanding of the Constitution as given to us to a more liberal progressive nation. And he makes the guy teaching it. I mean, it comes out really, there's no, the Republicans and Democrats anymore. It's not a separate thing. They both,
right,
during like the New Deal and all that, they both decided that we are going to become more of a social welfare system. They agreed on that, both sides, and they agreed on basically foreign, you know, being engaged in foreign wars and stuff. So both sides are working towards the same end. Some of the details of the policy, you know, might, how they do it might change, but both sides agree on those big principles. So it's, anyways, yeah, Kemp is not a conservative. What's his first name?
Brian
Kemp. Yeah, he's definitely not a conservative. I think he's been dirty on the voting fraud stuff, like we've talked about in the past. So I wouldn't expect him to be doing anything. But like we talked about last week, the her handling of this, just, you think that these people are intelligent. She's not intelligent.
Well, I think the judge will do something because he seems...
He's got to. He's
and
got
he,
to.
And he seems to not be bought into,
especially with
the lies.
With these new emails that came out, text messages that came out.
We've talked a little bit about this when we talked about it when Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade took the stand. Well, now we had Nathan Wade's old friend and business partner had texted with the defense attorney that filed the report
the motion,
or whatever.
The motion.
Yeah, the motion.
The motion was made by her client to have her and him removed from this prosecution
because
case.
Because of
this affair
conflict of interest
and money.
Basically money, yeah. So his business partner, Nathan Wade's former business partner, had been in communication with this lawyer and saw the motion before she filed it. And so he was supposed to take the stand. Well, and then he comes out after and says, oh, attorney-client privilege. So now he has a situation where he's told this other lawyer, but now he's claiming it. He only knows it because of attorney-client privilege, not because he was Nathan Wade's defense attorney. Not because they were friends, right? Like, that's not covered under attorney-client privilege if you found out about it.
Because
through
they were friends.
Right, because you're friends and you're around them. So, then turns out there was, and this flip happened where all of a sudden now he says, and then he takes a stand and says, I don't recall.
I was speculating.
Like, you said in this text message, you said it started here. And he said, I was speculating and I don't recall all this stuff. And turns out there was this other guy who has ties. What was it? He's a friend of Nathan Wade's, and his wife works for Fannie Willis. this guy, they think, came and made a call, basically, threatened the friend and said, hey, you wouldn't want to violate attorney-client privilege, would you? And basically, threatened this guy to now all of a sudden say, I don't recall, I don't know, I was speculating. But they got him pretty bad on those text messages.
Well, I think the thing is
And then they also got the phone records, right?
Right. The phone records.
Nathan Wade and Fonnie Willis.
Yeah. They say the big thing was, and I disagree with this too, but they're hung up on, did the affair.
When did it
start? After she hired him or before she hired him? Meaning that if it's before, then that's her motivation to hire this. And he is an unqualified.
Unqualified.
He's never prosecuted.
He's getting paid way more than anyone else.
So they say it didn't happen until after he had hired her. That's when hired him. That's when the affair started in 2022. But what's his name? I can't.
The friend?
Yeah,
I can't.
The attorney. Anyways, he says it started back in 2019. And,
right.
And he basically, the man that's involved in the Donald Trump prosecution as one of the RICO people, it's his lawyer that's bringing this case to have them dismissed. That lady judge, his lawyer, got a lot of her information to bring this motion from this lawyer who's now saying, I don't recall, or I was just speculating. But the thing is, she got the information from him, and once she put the motion together, she ran it back by him, and he's a lawyer
and
also.
Does
this all look accurate and right? And he's like, looks good. So that's almost a smoking gun, figuratively speaking.
Yeah, that he corrected, when she said, so this started when they were municipal or magistrate judges, and then it's one of the two, and he came back and said no, the other. So he didn't say no or I don't know, he corrected and said no, it was when they were
right. So when he saw an error, he corrected it.
Yeah.
And all the timing and involvement, he didn't correct. So
did you hear on they played on Fox cameras caught this, that when they start reading text message to him, you can hear, oh dang.
Yeah.
But then the other thing was that lawyer that's brought the motion also got the phone records of Fonnie Willis and Nathan Wade. And they showed Nathan Wade visiting the area surrounding Willis's condo in Atlanta near the airport, I guess, right? At least 35 times between January and November of 2021. And they also showed over 2,000 phone calls and 12,000 text messages over 11 months. And people are like, I don't call total that much. And definitely not, I'm not talking to Cole that much. We see each other every day. We don't text all the time, right? That's an insane number of calls and text messages. And you would see where he would call her, and then his cell phone would go from the area around his house to the area around her condo, and then it would hang up. And then, and it would be 11 o'clock at night. And then 4 in the morning, he would be on the move again, and then he would get to home, and there'd be another phone call, hey, I'm home, or a text message.
Yeah.
A text message.
Yeah, they had several times.
It's pretty bad.
Where his phone is at her house till 3:30, 5 a.m. So he's,
Which means they committed perjury, because she was asked, did, anyone ever visit your condo? Did anyone ever sleep at your condo? And so now she's saying, oh, they were kitchen cabinet meetings, they call them, I guess.
I don't know.
Basically, she was calling him to discuss cases. Oh, okay. In the middle of the night? Yeah.
Yeah. There's just too much corroborating. Any one thing, you might circumstantially explain it away, but you've got at least three layers of very good information on them being involved since 2019. I don't think you can just dismiss that. Plus, they've obviously perjured themselves. They're officers of the court. They didn't just perjure themselves. They perjured, especially Fonnie Willis. She perjured herself with gusto. I mean,
that's true. Because every time she got defensive, right? Telltale sign of liar on the stand. She would just, when they would have her dead to rights, she would just start getting defensive. And yeah.
So I don't know how that doesn't just go away. At a minimum, I would think that Fani Willis would be disbarred. I can't imagine that you can perpetrate this on the court as an officer of the court and not pay a pretty substantial penalty for it, but we'll see.
Right. And the other, just in Trump case world, the Supreme Court's agreeing to hear the immunity situation. I don't think they'll rule in his favor necessarily, but what it does mean is that it's going to delay those.
Yeah, everybody thinks that they won't rule in his favor, and I'm not really sure why.
I mean,
that is.
We'll see.
I mean, I understand that if you commit,
because it's the question of, was it an official? Was he acting as president, or?
And is this in the documents? Is that what this? What is?
I thought this was.
Or is this J6?
Is this the documents one? I don't. That's one of the two. I'm honestly not sure. I thought it was the J6 one, but it might be the documents. But in any case, it's going to get
delay.
This pushed back till after the election.
Right.
So as long as he figures out this $350 billion, whatever, one from New York, I think he's going to be able to skirt all of this, at least until the election. So,
yeah, it's a mess. I will say this. I said this a couple months back, and you guys thought I was crazy, but on the list of potential VPs that was just mentioned in his interview with Laura Ingraham Tulsi Gabbard.
I know. Would she do it? Well, I don't know.
I think she would.
Yeah.
It's her step into, I get to be next.
Yeah. Would she change parties then and run as an independent?
Well, yeah. That's,
'cause you,
I would think I would stay Republican.
Has she officially, like, well, she would have to, right?
I think she's an independent, but she'd have to become a Republican, I would think.
Okay.
But I don't know. They talked about Kennedy being his VP, partner.
He's denied it.
I know.
Outright.
But I don't know if she has to change her. But if she became a Republican, I mean, what's the problem? She's still the president. She gets to try to push forward her policies.
Yeah.
Because again, the labels don't get past the labels.
Pretty much nothing.
Republican, Democrat. You know, here's one thing that I disagree a little bit. Like Bongino is always going, they hate you. These people hate your guts. They hate you. I don't know if that's true. I mean, they don't know me. If they knew me, they'd probably hate me in my politics, but they don't hate me specifically.
They hate the idea.
They hate
of
the
you.
Ideas. But there's something that's more. There's always this thing that I say. Well, not always, but there's sometimes these things I say. There's something though that's true, but there's something that's more true. And what's more true in this situation is they hate your freedom. They hate that we are free, supposed to be free in this country, to live our lives and be left alone by the government. That's what they can't abide. I mean, they just can't abide Americans' personal freedom. It stands in opposition to everything they want to accomplish. That's what they ultimately hate. They hate that they hate our freedom.
Since we're talking about Republicans and doesn't mean anything, we could talk about Mitch McConnell announced that he will be stepping down as the Senate Majority Leader. So now everyone's talking about replacements, but...
Yeah, nobody ever talks about any of the names that I would want to see as a replacement.
Right, I know. That's because what Michael Knowles yesterday was saying, how it's never going to happen because, like, a principled conservative.
Right.
He heard people saying Rand Paul, that's not going to happen.
Right.
I was like, oh, like a Ted Cruz or somebody,
Yeah.
Ted not going to happen.
Not, yeah.
They did say maybe the other guy from Texas. That's a little more
John Cornyn.
Squishy. Yeah.
He's a criminal. He's a Joe Biden-esque.
Exactly.
Criminal. I don't know why
those are the guys that normally become
right. I don't know why though Josh Hawley's name is never mentioned.
I think
I love Josh Hawley.
Yeah, I think he did say that, but again,
right.
Michael Knowles was saying
here's
a principled
my problem
conservative
with it,
like it's not going to happen.
With this, here's my problem with this, and I kind of like talking about these things as opposed to the specifics of what's going on in the news, but the philosophies behind it. So I heard Shapiro talking about it. I knew Knowles because Knowles, he's actually kind of likes McConnell. you know, from a political standpoint of how to, you know, how to wheel and deal and get it done, or as Shapiro calls it, you know, how the sausage gets made. You know, you like the sausage, but you don't want to see how it gets made.
Yeah.
Like, you do not want to know how they make it. So, and that's what he says, you know, from that standpoint, McConnell's been pretty good. He knows how to make the sausage and know it's ugly and there's things that have to go on because it's all this compromising and giving and taking and scratching each other's back and blah, blah, blah. Here's where I have a problem with that. And here's why I say that's the system that we work in. I get that we currently have and have had for some time. I get that. That system, remember how Obama said he wanted to fundamentally change America? Well, that system of how the sausage is made needs to be fundamentally changed. That is not constitutional. What needs to happen, these governing bodies, like especially the Senate, even more so than the House, the Senate is really not meant to do that much. They're not really meant to be a primary legislative body. And that's McConnell's the Republican leader in the Senate. When they don't need to make the sausage with all the wheeling and dealing and compromise and all that kind of stuff and pork spending to get somebody's vote. They need to, the principle needs to be when we don't agree, when both sides don't agree on something that is going to be for the general good of the country, then do nothing.
Yeah.
Do nothing. Don't wheel and deal. Just don't do anything. We don't need you because that's the Constitution. That's the federalist system. If don't do anything. Let the individual, the family, the village, the town, the city, the township, the county, the state, let them work out what needs to be done at the most practical level and don't do anything. That is the constitutional federalist system. Why do they always feel like they have to do something? So if they put a principal conservative and nothing happens, fine. Yeah. That's the way it should be.
Right, right, right.
Let's fundamentally change the way things are being done.
Yes, but it's been so messed up that now if they don't do anything, right, then the people get mad and they think, oh, they're
ruining. I don't agree with that. I don't think the people get mad.
But what?
I don't think the people get mad when they don't do anything. I don't think that's true. I don't think the majority of Americans
get mad
just because they aren't up there passing legislation. I don't agree with that.
Okay, but they always use a government shutdown, right? As a one side will blame the other. And like it's a thing to blame that people will get upset and they'll vote those people out. Like they use that.
But that doesn't happen. They say it, but it doesn't happen.
Okay,
it's not true.
But that must be what they think.
I'm sure there are people that have been convinced of that. But it's not true.
I don't know. But I was going to say a prime example is we thought this new Speaker of the House, he's talked good stuff, seems like a great guy, whatever, but he's still passing these continuing resolutions.
Right.
Which is so obnoxious.
It is.
Why don't we just pass a budget?
Right.
And shut down until you can come up with one. So, it makes me mad. I hate continuing resolutions.
Yeah, I think that America, this is where the fundamental principle of running for office in a political system should be motivated by these are my beliefs and ideas and how to run things and get things done, what needs to happen. I think there are more people in my district, in my state, in my country, whatever, that agree with me than don't agree with me. And if they do, then I'll get elected. And if they don't, then I won't.
Principle and integrity?
Right. And here's my thing.
Having your own beliefs and sticking to them?
Here's my thing. We have a budget. We're going to have a budget. And so we can operate by it. We're going to live within it. And until we start running some kind of surplus, actual surplus, there's no money to send for, you know, transgender studies of whatever in some Middle Eastern country. We're not funding foreign wars. We're not funding all these ridiculous programs because we don't run a surplus. We have to run a surplus before there's any money to send anywhere else. I believe more people agree with me on that.
That is probably true. Yeah. Except for the Muslims in Dearborn, Michigan.
I don't care.
I know. I'm just saying. more people do agree with you, but those are the people who don't. But I got a timeout because I need to know. I know you're just making stuff up, but what transgender studies in the Middle East will look like? I don't think it's going well. I can tell you the results now.
It's flying lessons. Yeah. So, but I mean, some of the times you hear some of the things that they fund and it's just insane.
When does this come out? Rand Paul does the annual report
of all the
garbage
stupid
stuff,
things,
right?
They spend. Yeah. I don't know.
And I'm pretty sure we read some one year and it was like literally lizards walking on treadmills.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of which, and they have this ongoing battle trying to get this $60 billion funded to Ukraine. It dawned on me, and we know, everybody knows it's money laundering, what's going on there. And a lot of politicians are getting, kickbacks, and it ends up coming back to defense contractors, which these guys are invested with and have lobbyists, carry out their desires, and they're all getting money and getting rich off of it. But there's something more than that. It just dawned on me because of listening to the history of Ukraine and the CIA's involvement and us overthrowing, previous presidents and installing the people that we want to so that we get the business and mostly energy, natural gas and that kind of stuff, business done that we want that benefits us and hurts Russia. All this money that's being sent over there, it's not just being laundered back to the United States. I'm pretty confident that billions of it is just going to fund black ops and dirty, things going on in Ukraine that can get done there that can't get done other places, and just to basically manipulate the whole political system. I mean, the CIA is so active in that area of the world. It's got to be a ton of this money has to just go to fund their black ops. Don't you think?
I don't know. I feel like Cade would have more thoughts about that.
Have you listened to this Mike Benz guy? If you've not looked up Mike Benz, look up Mike Benz on Twitter and follow him. Tucker Carlson interviewed him several weeks back. He's bald with a beard.
Okay. I kind of recall that.
So, he's really good on this stuff.
So, talking about Ukraine, I had not heard this till I read that you put it on here. So I looked up a story that a man was arrested in Russia for allegedly trying to kill Tucker Carlson after being paid $4,000 by Ukrainian intelligence.
Yeah, supposedly he was supposed to plant a bomb on Tucker Carlson's car. Yeah,
I think
he was arrested before he could do it. I'm a little dubious. I'm actually quite dubious of this story.
Okay, good.
I mean, I was just gonna say it's out there. I can't say that I really buy into it, but it's certainly being reported.
That's something Russia would totally just do. Yeah.
And I'll reiterate what I did last week. Putin's actions in the last week or two definitely just wipes away all this nonsense that he spouted in his Tucker Carlson interview. I mean, the only thing, that he was right about that is that, we blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. Other than that, the rest of his interview is nonsense. They do have the guy. They have, the guy that supposedly was supposed to blow up Tucker Carlson, they have a guy. He's sitting there. They're interviewing him, apparently, after he's been arrested or whatever. But still, I think I would think that's staged.
So we can go back. Our first story took place in Georgia. Another story, a big story of the week, came out of Georgia, which was about Lakin Riley, the 22-year-old nursing student who was killed by an illegal immigrant while out on a run near the University of Georgia campus. And with some of the spin, first of all, I mean, there's a lot of ways to go with this. One, it's obviously extremely sad. I think from what I've heard, this girl was a strong Christian. Her family was talking about that. And so she had gone out for a run, and her roommate, when she didn't come back, her roommate called the police, and they found her body within like 30 minutes. And her skull had been bashed in.
And they said it was obviously, more than bashed in. This guy, I mean, they said it was like she was disfigured. Her head was like...
This guy, right, who never should have been in the country to begin with, is what makes it... And everyone always says, you know, whenever you say, oh, the crimes... You talk about crimes committed by illegal immigrants, and people say, well, Americans commit crimes too. Yeah, exactly. So why would we want to bring in more? We have our own problems to deal with. Especially, this guy's from Venezuela, and... Venezuela in particular, we are getting a lot of, like, in Venezuela, their leaders are like, oh, this is great. We're at, like, record low murder rates and all this stuff because all of their
They are intentionally dumped,
are
sending
here.
All their people
yes.
here, all their criminals. Yeah, I didn't pull that story, but like you just said, they are reporting that they are, like, all record lows in murder and violent crime. Because, in fact, and when we try to do repatriation flights to send Venezuelans back to Venezuela, they are not allowing our airplanes to land. They are like, so in other
this
words,
is, that's
we
why,
will not
I
take them back.
So it's these people that we need the penal colony for.
Yeah, but.
Because what are we, if they won't take them back, what are we going to do with them?
don't let them in the first place.
Yeah, true.
I mean, look. I've said it before. I'll say it again.
Yeah, but Mexico's going to say, I'm not keeping
these.
I don't care.
That's not my problem. Yeah. You know what? They'll
right.
stop coming.
They'll fix your border.
I literally would say, you know, here's a bottle of water at the border. Now, turn 180 degrees.
Yeah.
I don't care. You can turn to the left. You can turn right. I don't care which direction you turn around, but turn 180 degrees and start walking. And if you... I know this is going to sound horrible, but if somebody walks out there and they just stay on that side of the border and they just stand there looking at you like, help me, let me in, you can stand there until you die.
Yeah.
Because you're not getting in. And when the next people show up and see your dead body laying there, they won't come in either. They'll stop coming. We told you not to come. That's what I would say as the president. We told, if they say, well, this is a, well, I say, we told them not to come. We told them not to come.
This is where we need the soundbite of Kamala going, don't come. Okay.
So, but here's the thing. Yes, and everybody, people on the left, Katie Porter, the Athens mayor, Cornel West, all these different people were going, you know, don't equate illegal immigration with these crimes. They're not related in any way. Blah 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 blah. Well, here's the thing. I got these statistics. Listen, it most certainly is. Listen to this, and you can say, well, we have criminals here, but listen to this. 75% of all federal drug offenders are illegal immigrants. 75%. They are even a minuscule, I mean, in a proportion, they're a small, small percentage of people in this country. They make up 75% of all federal drug offenders. 17% of all illegal drug trafficking sentences and 1/3 of all federal prison sentences are illegals. I mean, that's an astronomical number. You can't say that illegal immigration and crime is not related. Criminal aliens, both legal and illegal, make up 27% of all federal prisoners, while making only 9% of the general population.
Why would we put an illegal criminal?
I don't know.
Alien into
right.
a federal prison.
You could lower
you
the federal prison budget by 27% by sending all these people home.
Yeah, legal or legal, because once you commit a crime, we take away your legal right to be here.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I would think. I would hope.
Yeah.
I mean, those numbers are just jaw-dropping.
The problem is you send them back and they just come back over the border because we have no, you know, we don't stop them at the border. But you fix that problem, right? And then you send them back. You don't put them in prison.
Yeah. Yeah, they should just be.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I don't need them to be incarcerated here for a crime. No. I just want them just out of the country is just as good.
Yeah.
They can't
just as good.
Hurt
they
America.
Can't harm
they
Americans.
Can't hurt Americans.
Yes.
Get them out of the country.
So the other thing about this story is that not only these people are saying, oh, illegal immigration has nothing to do with the crimes, but they were reporting this as you saw, like there was some headline that said, you know, killed by an Athens man, right? Didn't mention his, and they focus, like the story we're going to link focuses on that she was a runner, like, right? And this
Yeah, they wrote the story
problems,
about
fears of female runners.
Yes. Fears of female runners, not illegal, not illegal immigration violence.
Yeah.
That should have been the headline, but instead it was the fear of female lone female athletes or something like that.
Yeah, like it is true that when I was running all the time, I was very cognizant of where I would go and when I would go. But this story, we need to talk about the fact that it shouldn't have been even a story in the first place because this guy never should have been here. So.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I was thinking about this, when they talk about him, an Athens resident, I started thinking about this. When you realize and hear these stories about these illegals when they're getting busted and you find out how many times, because he'd been arrested multiple other times, he'd had interaction with the law, and it's always in different cities. It's like,
yeah,
these people,
the last one was in
they're
New York.
Not residents anywhere. These people don't know what it is to settle down and establish a life. They've traveled from some other country. They've come into this country. This guy went to New York. He had interactions there with the police. So he left there. He goes to Georgia. He gets in trouble there. But I've heard these stories of others. These people travel more than I do, and I own an airplane. I mean, they're in New York. They get in trouble. They go down to Miami. They go there. They get in trouble. They go out to California. And then from there, they may go up to Colorado. I mean, they're all over the place. You find that they've had these interactions with law enforcement. They don't settle down anywhere. And I mean, how do they do that? I mean, it'd be one thing different if they came here and established themselves in a community. Oh, there's a community in Wisconsin of 15,000 people, and in 1 year they got by the numbers 1,000 people illegals dumped into their town, and now the law enforcement says, yeah, they work like farm work or whatever, or you know, maintenance work during the day, and at night they traffic cocaine. This is all their law enforcement of, and they said it's 1,000 people by the number in a community of 1,500. The real number is probably 2,000.
Traffic stops have gone down drastically, but that's because they don't have time because there's so many more domestic calls.
And then you talk about, well, why there? But if you look at the numbers of voting, well, those, if they get those few couple thousand people to vote, that flips a whole, that can flip a whole county.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the way the electoral system works. I mean, when it comes to the electoral college, it doesn't, you can flip a vote, a whole presidential election, as I've said, in this country with a couple hundred thousand votes. In the right places. Did you see this story that in Canada, Canadian doctors admitted that a woman was paralyzed by the COVID booster? So they admit that's what caused it.
I only saw it because you put it on here.
And now that she's injured, they're offering her assisted suicide as the remedy.
Yeah, that's wild. They go, whoops. You know what we can do for you? We can just finish the job.
If you don't like living paralyzed, well, yeah.
Speaking of the COVID vaccine, it's now a screening question for the Red Cross to donate blood.
Yeah, I've heard it? Conflicting. They're really trying to back away from it. But it looks to me like from what I've seen, it was definitely a part of what they're considering when they get blood. But they obviously don't want it to be too public. But I was saying this a year or more ago, that it's going to become an issue with the Red Cross, you know, blood donation, as well as insurance companies. And it's
very true.
On the down low. It's on the down low. They don't want it out there, but they're working at taking that into consideration because they know what a health risk it is. Again, it's not astronomical. A tainted, distorted view of how bad it is if you go on Twitter and you see story after story. But as a percentage, it's not the way it appears.
It's not zero.
But it's a lot higher than any other. A lot higher than any other kind of vax injuries that we've seen historically. I saw that Dr. Phil was on The View.
Yeah, and they were not ready for that.
Yeah, they were not happy with him. He's starting his own network.
Yeah.
Building a studio and everything in the Dallas area.
And he's talking about immigration and fentanyl and...
He went to the border.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's all of a sudden he's seeing like that his... I think he kind of said he's seeing that the people he's talking to, like the families coming to him are shifting. And so all these families, you know, they've lost kids from fentanyl and all this... And transgender things, I think, as well. And they're just shifting what he is seeing and wanting to talk about.
Yeah. Well, when you're a person pursues, and I'm not a big Dr. Phil guy, but when you're a person that pursues information and understanding, even if you're not politically motivated, when you are getting information, data, and that tell you a picture, and yet your supposed governmental leaders and the media and all these things are telling you a different story, you have to finally wake up and say, wait, there's something going on here. Is it incompetence? Is it criminality? Is it, you know, what is it? What's going on? And so once you start searching, and so people that are information driven, like a doctor, a scientist, a psychiatrist, you know, in his case, a psychiatrist, they want to know the truth. I mean, their lives, their fields of study and practice are built on knowing true information and understanding it. So if you eventually get red-pilled, so to speak, I guess, and that's kind of what's, we've seen it happening to a number of people. So welcome to the club. And what I would say to him and whoever else, and I have to remind myself sometimes, no matter how bad I think that it really is, and what I'm seeing, how horrible it is, and the evil motivations of it, that they hate my freedom and all that kind of stuff, and they hate God because God stands in the way of big government, it's much worse. No matter how bad I think it is, it's way worse. Because we only know the tip of what's going on. The truth of the matter is, the stuff that we're learning now has been going on for decades. We just didn't know it. That's how we got here. And like I said last week, I feel a bit ashamed of that, mm-hmm. because I feel like it's happened on my generation's watch, a lot of it. So
yeah,
shame on us. We just thought that
then you guys...
the way that things were is the way that things always would be. And yet,
yeah,
as I've studied like the Constitution course at Hisdell and this new course I started, there have been liberals, progressives, socialists, communists in this country since the very, early beginnings of this country who have sought to change our form of government.
That's why, so you're actually saying that millennials were right when they would blame the boomers for all of their problems?
Hey, I'm a boomer, but I'm towards the end of it, depending on where you draw the line. I mean, I'm at the end of it no matter what. I mean, by some, I'm more of a boomer than others. I'm at the tail end of it, depending on where they draw
right,
the line.
Right, depends where you look.
But it's the generation that, and it's not even a generation. It's people that are 10 to 20 years older than me. Those are the people that really, I agree with the Gen who is it? Who'd you just say?
Millennials.
Millennials that hate those people.
Yeah,
I'm on board with them.
At the very tail end.
I'm on board with them. Those people are, a lot of them are just, they really, really destroyed. They did a lot of damage to this country. And yet I'm fascinated by the 60s. Decade and that
mm-hmm.
generation and what went on. I mean, the lecturer last night was saying that the radicals of the 60s that thought that they were pushing back against kind of the conservative establishment, you know, he said in reality, they were the liberals of that time. They may have not understood it, and they may have been viewed as liberals, but they had as many problems with the liberals as anybody. So I'm only one course into it, but anyways, it's because I've just been, like I said, fascinated by that. Because I watched it as a kid without really being old enough. I just observed it, you know, on the nightly news and stuff like that. You know, the protests, the Kent States, the 68 Democratic Convention, you know, all these crazy events, the assassination of Kennedy and Martin Luther King. I mean, I was alive, but I was a kid just watching, observing it. I wasn't in my teen years yet. So
if we're on like, you know, government and foundational, we can talk about the Christian nationalism.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about.
Okay.
That is a story. That term Christian nationalism started popping up more a year or so ago.
Yeah.
And then it kind of, I didn't hear much about the idea of Christian.
I mean, don't you feel like January 6th?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So maybe.
It was kind of when it became.
Yeah. I didn't hear much about it for a while. And now it's just coming back like crazy.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what it means.
Okay, so that's
if
where...
The definition this lady offers, then...
This lady says then, that the Declaration of Independence is Christian
yes.
nationalism.
I don't... How do you say their name?
I have Heidi, no idea. It's nothing but consonants. Her name
Heidi
is...
Heidi Prisbola. There's a vowel at the end.
There's a vowel at the very last letter.
Y's are sometimes vowels. There's a couple of those in there. Heidi Prisbola. That's what I'm going with. I will not say it again.
Okay, now wait a minute before we go on there. Did you hear the clip of Biden the other day when he was talking about the train from L.A. to Las Vegas or something?
No.
He's doing this clip and literally, it sounds like in the middle of his sentence, he just goes, do you know how somebody just goes like, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he literally sounds like he just goes blah, 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 all of a sudden.
He couldn't even read straight off the paper. He said, he was going to quote Lincoln. And he's like, I don't want to get it wrong. I want to get it right. So he everyone knows he's reading off a paper and he still can't read.
He looks like he is physically like a decomposing, like he's decomposing in front of you. Doesn't he? He looks like he is in the state of decomposition.
Yeah.
Oh, he's fine.
Yeah.
He's fine. He's fine. He's got
Brad
more
Cooper
energy
pointed
than...
out after they, you know, he ate ice cream with Seth Meyers or whatever on late night. Brett Cooper pointed out, you know, maybe we should be concerned. You know, we just keep giving him all this sugar. I'm like, that definitely they're showing how that's all linked to dementia and Alzheimer's and stuff like that now.
Well, I also heard this. Ice cream is a very common food to give dementia patients. It comforts them.
That's actually true.
Yes.
Yeah.
He eats a lot
this
of ice cream.
This explains so much. Okay.
Okay. Do
Back
you know?
To Heidi,
okay.
What's
wait
her
a minute.
Face?
Wait a minute. Oh, okay. In the movie Scrooged with Bill Murray, when his old business partner comes back from the grave.
Yeah.
Joe Biden's only about 2 degrees away from that.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I'm just waiting.
The guy's arm comes off.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for something to fall off. I mean, he is decomposing in front of us. Or for a mouse to push
a good...
golf ball out of the back of his head or something.
Yeah, that was a good pull.
Oh, man.
Okay.
So, okay, Heidi Prism.
So, Heidi, what's her face?
Heidi, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Okay, she's on CNN. And she said that... She goes into, she says, Christian nationalists, and she goes, not Christians, because she says there's a difference. The thing about Christian nationalists is that they believe that our rights don't come from the government or any authority. They believe our rights come from God.
Therefore, they can't be taken away, that they're absolute.
That's very close to the quote of what she said. And my, of course, what was your first thought? My first thought was, have you seen the founding documents of our country?
That is exactly what we are. Now, I have an issue with Christian nationalism. I have a problem with any kind of hyphenated Christianity. There is no hyphenated Christianity. However, that is exactly the principle that our country is founded on. And my thing is, it's,
yeah, I think
it's not possible that they're this stupid.
I think she
it?
Has a bad definition for Christian nationalism.
Well, see,
I don't know.
I have a hard time believing they're that ignorant, that they don't know the Declaration of Independence, or at least, you know, the idea that, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equals, you know, endowed with their creator with certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I mean, I have a hard time believing she's not at least vaguely familiar with that statement. They go out there and they say these things over and over and over and over. Yes. To ingrain it into people's brains that's to think like they're stating, not what the Declaration of Independence says. It's like using the term democracy over and over and over and over. They use that term all, I mean, just 1,000 times a day in the media, they use the term democracy, and we're not a democracy. We are a representative republic, and they do it to change people's concept of who we are as a nation. And I think that's why that her and other people do this kind of thing, because clearly, if that's their definition of Christian nationalism, then you're going to have a lot of people going, well, I never thought about it before, but I guess I'm a Christian nationalist because, I believe in the Declaration of Independence. I made this point on here. To me, this idea of our rights don't come from God, they're not absolute, they come from government, then that's the same problem that evolution has when evolution says there is no God. Well, then I say is, well, where did matter come from? And no scientist can explain that either. We don't know matter. Mm-hmm. We don't know where it came from. We can't create it. We can't destroy it. So where did matter come from? It's the same kind of problem because if rights come from government and not from God, then they're not really rights. It's whoever, it is evolution. Right. It's the strongest survive. Survival of the fittest.
The fact that you could take it away,
right,
would,
right.
By definition, it's not a right then.
Because to me,
yeah,
if that's
a privilege.
If that's the way you want to define where rights come from, they're granted by government, well, fine. Then all bets are off. Every man for himself. If I can overthrow you, why shouldn't I try? It's not wrong for me to try to overthrow you and get my rights, my idea of rights instilled over yours. Because you don't have a right.
Well, that's basically what they're doing, so.
I know. So here's my thing about that, then. We need to eliminate this idea of insurrection. It's not an insurrection. It's just the political system.
It's them trying to get their rights.
They're trying to get theirs. Another group wants theirs. Yeah. There is no absolute. So they destroy.
You could still call it.
To take things to their logical extreme to point out their fallacies. And they destroy their own argument when they say things like that, because if I want to overthrow some form of government, it's not wrong. That's just a system that you say we live in.
Right. But if they successfully stop you, they're still going to call it, right? They're still in control.
Yeah, because they're in control of the narrative.
The power to put you.
They're in control of the
language.
And
they have the power to lock you up now, right? So I feel like it still works as far as, you can still call it insurrection, it's just whether you're successful or not. Like, you can try it. Like, in fact, you're probably in the right to try it in this logical system, right? Why would I not do it? However, as long as they can stop you,
right? They can try to stop me.
Yeah.
But don't tell me that I'm overthrowing democracy. I'm just operating in the system that you say that we operate in. So I just think that that's, if you're not familiar, I just want to read this. This is the Declaration of Independence. Okay. This is the framing groundwork, the context with which we then produce the Constitution. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. So that's the framework. The government's there to protect the rights that come from God. That's their only job.
And if they don't,
we're
supposed
to get rid
of them.
It is
the right of the people to alter or abolish that.
Now, here's
the
thing I didn't understand. Way back early on, especially starting like with Woodrow Wilson in 1912, I mean, both political parties moved away from looking at the Constitution as our governing document because they understood that it restricted them from being and doing what they wanted. And so they just started moving us away and ignoring it whenever they can. I mean, it was a purposeful effort, according to, you know, the professor that was lecturing. So anyways, we all still have this mindset. I mean, I think that when we talk about the Constitution, they probably kind of snicker and go, oh, isn't that cute? I mean, they don't pay any attention to it or take it seriously at all. And the fact that we do probably hurts us because we think that's the field that we're playing on, and they're over here playing in a whole different arena.
This story, it's not really funny. It's kind of sad funny. Like, there's a little bit of humor in it, but also it's not funny. This guy, an Idaho death row inmate, he's like the longest guy to be on death row. He's been on death row for like 40 something years.
Since I think 81.
And yeah. Yesterday, he's been on death row for 43 years. He's 73 years old. They were supposed to do his lethal injection Wednesday, February 28th, and they stopped it because the medical team could not find a vein to administer the lethal injection. They tried like 8 times, multiple people.
That's what I was going to say. I want to know how many times they
multiple
tried.
Multiple times. Yeah, I think it's 8 times. 3 medical professionals made a combined 8 attempts. They used his, they tried his right arm, his right leg, his left arm, his left leg. I wonder if he like purposely dehydrated himself and like all this stuff like going into it. I know.
What about the back of your hand?
I have never, ever, anytime I've given blood or had to like do a blood draw, every person's always like, oh, you have great veins. Yeah. Like, yeah. And then his death warrant expired. And this guy has been charged, convicted of like 5 murders. And he admitted.
One of them in prison.
Yeah, one of them was in prison. And he actually admitted to killing at least 40 other people.
Yeah, they can't confirm that, but that's what he said.
Yeah, but they have strong evidence that can link him to 6 other murders, at least. So this guy has killed.
Yeah, that was all like by the age of 24.
Probably at least 11. Yeah, because he's been in prison for 43 years. He wasn't actually put on death row at the beginning, but after he killed the guy, he killed a disabled 22-year-old inmate, I think, is what I saw. This guy that was in there for like car theft or something. And then he got put on death row. So
apparently,
I just thought it was crazy to me that they couldn't find an IV. So they just were like, okay, well, guess we're not doing it.
Yeah.
And now he's probably just going to die.
Apparently Idaho, though, allows 2 forms of capital punishment, 1 lethal injection and the other firing squad. So, okay.
No way. That's actually in their law.
Yeah. That's according
to how many states it's still legal, but they never do it.
I personally would take it over legal.
I would too.
It's like,
I think
hey,
I would too.
Be a good shot. I want 1 in the brain and 1 in the heart. Let's go.
Yeah. I think like it's probably quicker.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I guess I would take the blindfold.
And they describe lethal injection. It's like burning. Like
yeah, it takes like a half hour
terrible.
To kill you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. The other is pretty instantaneous.
I think I would opt for firing squad.
Exactly.
And it's not like, it's the same as, or maybe they have multiple people inject you. Because isn't the idea, like firing squad, there's multiple people. It's all like, oh, the guilt or like the shame
right.
of, well, somebody's injecting you with something and killing you.
Well, they don't,
also,
they don't, they do a machine. Ideally, they hook you up to a machine and the machine administers it.
Realization, though. Okay, but the person who hooks you up.
Who loaded it, or loaded it in the machine.
Yeah, pushes the button. But also, what people who say capital punishment is inhumane, all this stuff, and like, oh, what if people felt remorse for the people who have to carry that around that kill them? What about doctors that are just offering euthanasia to like
right.
to that lady? That
right.
How is it any different?
We paralyzed you, so now to help you, we offer to kill you.
Yeah.
If you're
right.
a Canadian
I mean, obviously,
doctor.
They would say, oh, well, one, they're choosing it and like doing an act of mercy or whatever. And this one, you're killing someone. I was like, yeah, but they lost their right. Yeah. There's a disconnect here.
I'm not opposed to capital punishment in theory, but on
right.
a practical level, I have a lot of
I
reservations.
Know. Yeah, me too.
There's been so
because
many people that have been
false,
the introduction
yeah.
with the introduction of, yes. Yeah, with our legal system. And I'm sorry. And there's some places where the police force has not been on the up
no.
and up. Then with the introduction of DNA for crimes that were committed prior to DNA, that people have been acquitted.
Yes.
So, I mean, like hundreds of people have been acquitted because of the introduction of DNA that was not available at the time. So, on the other hand, I'm not always convinced that DNA, while yes, that DNA itself is accurate, I'm not sure that the way that DNA and our ability to now detect DNA, we can detect DNA at such smaller levels that were never detectable before in using different methods, that how that DNA got there, that's a big question mark, because it can be
that's
transferred
true.
Now
like touch DNA
you could
yeah,
yeah. I mean and like it might be touch DNA and then that gets touched and taken somewhere else
yeah
so
like I touch my water bottle
right.
and you touch it and,
it's like yeah. they do now with the cell phone data that we talked about with Fonnie Willis and
right.
I mean they say well my phone was there okay
he said he was at some like Porsche dealer or experience place at 3 a.m.
But that's, you know, if you want to, I have real reservations about using cell phone data as a slam dunk. It's, they use it, you know, as a slam dunk. And I agree. Yeah. There should be a higher level required to commit somebody of a serious felony than just, well, we know the phone was there.
But if it's that's a factor the case, within, like that, the incident.
Right.
Like there's got to be a lot more support. There's a lot more that goes along with it.
But if that's the case, then all those people that are being arrested, J6, I mean, they all need to be thrown
because
out.
Because that's what they're claiming. Fonnie Willis and Nathan Wade are claiming.
It's the exact same stuff.
You can't use cell phone data. Right. And I would say, how many people have you...
Has she convicted?
Convicted based on cell phone data.
Yeah, that's got
to
be...
they all need to be appealing.
That's got
to
be a sweating... The state of Georgia has to be sweating that bullet. It's like, look, if she gets off on this, we are going to be deluged with people... wanting their cases overturned or retried because they were convicted on the basis of cell phone, geofencing or whatever. I mean, they use that now, which I have a problem, is they just, like, when a crime goes down, they just look at all the cell phones within a certain amount of area in a certain amount of time, and they bring all those people in. And you could be just be some schmo riding down the street on your bicycle and happen to get caught in a geofencing, and you fit the description that somebody else gave of somebody they thought looked nefarious, and the next thing you know, they're in there grilling you for 6 hours.
Yeah.
So, technology isn't always wonderful.
Just like sometimes owning a home. It's frustrating.
Well, they say, you know, you've been a homeowner though before.
It's true.
You don't ever own a home. It owns you.